Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're joined now by Keith Hernandez. Keith, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How are you? Very good, thanks.
Good, Keith. Keith, give me where are the Mets right now in your estimate in the season as a team? What are the Mets right now?
It's a tough question, Mike, and you mentioned it. They're 19-11 at home, and this was a team that had a difficulty playing at home in the past, the near future, they're struggling on the road. I mean, they've had two really bad road trips. I think a lot of it has to do with the youth on the team. This is a different team than it was last year, a couple years ago. They've got a lot of young players now that play with a lot of enthusiasm. They're getting baptism by fire, and it's, you know, it's tougher to play on the road, particularly for the youngsters. I just think it's going to boil down to the starting rotation. DeGrom and Syndergaard, if they can get on a roll and pitch like they're capable, and they haven't pitched poorly, they've been erratic. Wheeler and Matz have been splendid, and Vargas of late has pitched the last six starts has been great. So if you figure the big 1-2 guys can kick it into gear, I mean, who would have thought, and here we are in the middle of June, that DeGrom would have three wins? That would be 3-6. Everybody has their blemishes. There's no really, really, really front runner. The Mets are five back. They're very much in the thick of it. A lot of season left.
Alonso, the bat's been overwhelming. The power's been overwhelming. The defense hasn't been bad, Keith. You know, we heard he was a butcher. He hasn't really been that bad at first base.
We heard that he was a butcher would be the right word, and he is definitely not. He is quite capable over there. He's got good hands, whatever you get to. He's steady. He's got good footwork around the base. He's not agile. He's a big, burly guy.
Even makes the 3-6-3. He'll make the throw to second base okay. He's not bad.
He makes that throw great. He makes the 3-1s of the pitcher covering real well. He is not a liability in the field, and he is most dangerous at the plate.
Yeah, he's a slugger, no question, absolutely. Dom Smith, now we know he's going to be a first tonight. We know he's the more polished glove, so Alonso will DH, take advantage of that. I said I'd like to see, before they trade him off for a B reliever, I'd like to see Dom Smith as an everyday player just to see if he's a real hitter or not.
Well, you know, they're trying to find ways to play him. They played J.D. Davis out in left field. And, you know, J.D. is an infielder. He's a third baseman, second baseman. And
He's an adventure.
Dom out in left, it's a trade-off. They do want to get his bat in the lineup, and he has done a terrific job off the bench and with his role as far as spot playing, too. I just really think that it's the new management, the new regime that's evaluating Van Wagenen's crew. I think that they look more favorably upon Dom, whereas I think with under Alderson, he didn't really strike their fancy. And I think, players can sense that. And I think it affects their play. And I think the fact that Dom has been embraced and is looked favorably upon by the front office, I think it's reflective of how he's played this year.
You know, it's funny. The Mets have, first of all, they didn't know what they had in McNeil and Alonso. If they did, they wouldn't have stacked the team with so many corners. And that's not even counting Lowry. And they have outfielders who can hit and can't catch the ball. And then they have outfielders who can catch the ball and can't hit. That's a tough combination. It really is, you know? I mean, because, you know, Lagares, we've been waiting all these years. He just doesn't hit.
Well, you know, if Juan could hit 260, you'd love him in center field, particularly with our corner outfielders, especially if we're going to have J.D. Davis and or John right. Smith in left field, and Conforto, who does a good job. Conforto's not a bad outfielder. Conforto's quite competent out there, does a good right. job in the outfield, what he can get to. He's pretty solid. But you need a center fielder to go and be able to cover a lot of ground in the both gaps. And Lagares would be perfect for it, obviously. I mean, he's the best center fielder that we have defensively. Nemo is probably number two. So Nemo hasn't hit. He's had a tough time as well. And who knows if that bulging disc in his neck had some effect there. I got to believe it probably did. But he's rehabbing, and he'll be back shortly. So I don't know what to tell you. It's kind of this. I'm waiting for this team to kind of to meld. It's a lot of new pieces here. It's a new direction, and Rome wasn't built in a day. I'm just kind of waiting for it to kind of click. You know, Frazier's been red hot.
Frazier's done a good job, you know, and I buried him. I thought he was done, so I said, you don't need him around here. He's extra baggage, and you know what? He's actually played really well. He really has.
Well, you know what? He had the oblique, and he missed a lot of spring and a lot of the beginning of the season. And, you know, I got to think, I never had an oblique, but, you know, it's a lot of trunk twisting and hitting. And, you got to be wondering in the back of your mind, God, is this the swing I'm going to hurt it again? And he missed a lot of time. And, you know, Todd's not in his 20s anymore. And he got off to a terrible start. And I thought that maybe he wasn't going to pull out of it. He's hung in there, and he has earned the playing time. And plus,
no, he's done a good job. He can field, too.
You took the words out of my mouth. He really gives us a solid, solid glove at third base.
Yep, and now with Cano, I mean, listen, I thought McNeil was going to need third to play every day because you got to get his bat in there every day. I figured Cano would be a fixture, and Cano has been invisible, and that's the most stunning thing to me. I never thought. I talked to Cano in spring training when he was leading the majors in hitting. He was leading the majors in hits. He said, I'm going to have a huge year. I believed him. He had a great opening day, and he has had a nightmare.
I always cringe when you waste hits in March, and you know Cano was just had a spring training.
At 420 or 430, something like that. Yeah,
and hit everything hard, and he tapered off towards the end, and I was a little bit concerned because you can only stay hot for so long, and I certainly didn't want him to waste too many hits down in spring training, and you know it just he got off to a tough start, hitting 250, and you know, he just really hasn't got it done. He's a guy that's on his way to maybe, hopefully, if he stays healthy, 3,000 hits. I mean, he's hit his whole life.
Yes.
I don't think he's at the point where he's lost
little
bit of reflex.
I don't think he can
still hit.
Yeah, I think he can too.
He can still hit. And it's just a matter of he needs to get out there and play, and he'll get hot sooner or later.
I think so, too. I agree with you on that. I've never seen Cano not hit for any length of time. And the guy's, as you said, he has a good chance to get 3,000 hits if he stays healthy, but we haven't seen it out of him. You know, it's almost like there's always a breakdown, you know, whether it's bullpen, whether it's a starting pitching, which, as you said, has been up and down, the lineup. It's like they almost always, but they're not that bad off. I mean, they're only a game under 500. I know people are disappointed with that, but that's not crazy bad. I mean, it's a game under 500. They haven't been good on the road. The bullpen's been shaky. Nothing's been great yet except Alonso. And you know what? It's not like they're not terrible. I mean, you just wait to see if they can kind of put the pieces together.
And I think I was just talking to John Smoltz, who's here, and he still likes the Mets in the East. He said with that pitching, and pitching is the name of the game, and with the starting rotation, with Mats lifting his game, elevating his game, Wheeler's throwing good. Wheeler just seems to give up a home run in the latter part of the game and in a tight game and winds up getting a no decision. But Wheeler's been throwing very, very good. And, you know, if you get DeGrom and Syndergaard in the act, and you got run those guys out there. I mean, Vargas is pulling his weight of late, too. You know, but you've got pitching, starting pitching you can run out there. And Callaway has been pushing the starting pitching. And I've always been, you know, forget this 100 pitches. Give me 7 innings. Okay, I'll meet you halfway.
Right.
Let him go. Get me 7 innings so I can get to my bridge in the bullpen and my closer. You know, just give me that. If it's 100 pitches or it's 120 pitches, but get seven out of them. Don't just yank them because it's 100 pitches and the guy's throwing a good game. And then Callaway has been pushing the starters.
What do you think? Is the bullpen salvageable, or do they need new pieces?
They could use a few new pieces. I'd like to see them get a left-hander. Hopefully we'll be getting the lefty back off the pen.
Yep.
Now he's rehabbing tonight. Yep. I can't think of his name right now.
Wilson.
I'd like him. He's solid. He's a veteran. He goes after hitters. We could probably use one more. Familia's got to.
He's got to pull his weight.
Got to pick
absolutely.
It up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's been a big surprise. And but his last two times out, Familia's done great. Getting that old sinker back. He just loses control and command once in a while. And and Diaz has had his problems. He's been hit pretty hard. He's starting to get his act together now. So it's a lot. This is a team that has got a lot of new pieces, and it takes a while to meld into a unit. And I think with all the young youth here that's so exuberant, I really like the spirit that they bring. Alonso runs everything out hard. So does McNeil. They play hard. They play to win. And I like their enthusiasm. I think it's a great blend. And it's just a matter, how long will it take for this team to kind of mesh? It may not happen this year. It may happen next year. But I think they got a foundation here that they can build on and make this club get better and better as the years go by.
I'm talking with Keith Hernandez. Do you think Mickey is acting like a guy who's under the gun, or do you think he's connecting with his team?
My feeling is that the team likes him very much and likes playing for him, and that's a good thing for Mickey. He's under siege. There's no question. He went through a period where he was going to. And the Sharks were circling, and but he's held up. The team has hung around. If they can just get their act together on the road, they've won what? Their record is like abysmal the last.
Yes, I think 4-17. I think 4-17. Yeah.
So the road has just killed them. But then again, like I say, you got a lot of young players, and playing on the road. They will learn to thrive on the road. They got a good foundation on this ball club. And I said it. I made a big, bold statement, and it just struck me. I've been trying to figure out Alonso's who he reminds me of.
Who does he?
And he reminds me a little bit of Harmon Killebrew, that big power swing.
Wow.
He's very disciplined, Mike, at the plate.
That's a compliment. Big compliment.
That is a compliment. And yeah. I wouldn't say it. I just wouldn't.
I saw Harmon Killebrew play in person, too. He was he hit the ball so hard. It was he was slow as a horse, but he hit the ball so hard. It was unbelievable.
Right. And then Lonzo takes that kind of.
He does.
Big, powerful swing, and it's not a long swing.
And he hits the ball the other way, too, which is good. And you know what else? He hits late in games, which is good, too.
Yes, he's been, and he's got a good discipline. He takes pitches. He keeps the shoulder in. He's learning. He can look bad sometimes. Pitchers he'll chase once in a while, but he never wanders off his path. He stays with his approach. He's very disciplined. He hasn't got a temper. I haven't seen him throw a helmet or get mad when he just comes and puts his helmet down. He's very, very poised for a young man.
Yeah, he's been great, absolutely. And it's right. It's hard to find the right-handed hitter. You have one there in Killebrew because he's not as good a hitter as Piazza was. Piazza was a better hitter.
No.
Piazza's
a 300 hitter.
Yeah. So this guy's going to be a 250, 260 hitter with a lot of homers, right? Isn't that what you figure?
In our generation, he's a quintessential cleanup hitter.
Yes. Yes,
that's what he is.
Joe Adcock kind of guy, yeah.
Absolutely, and when you've got Conforto behind him, who has been consistent but got power, that's a good left-right combination.
And McNeil's a 300 hitter too. That guy can hit 300 any day. That guy, he puts the bat on the ball. He can hit 300.
He's got a good eye at the plate. Another guy with good plate discipline and a good knowledge of the strike zone, and a very, very tough two-strike hitter.
Yes, puts the bat on the ball.
He can look bad a couple times. He'll chase, but when he gets to strikes, he just bears down.
Well, you called it the other day. You called it the other day when he looked bad, and then you said he's going to put the bat on the ball here with two strikes, and he dunked it over the shortstop's head to tie up the game.
Yep. Yes, he did.
Yeah, and you know, you called it. You said he was going to do it. He did. He does a very good job there. He's got a good idea, like you said. I think he's, and I want to see what Smith is. I can't figure out if Smith's going to be good or he's just going to be okay. I can't get a read on him. I'd like to see him play for a couple of weeks and see what kind of hitter he really is.
He really needs an opportunity to play every day. It's tough to be a spot player, and you know. He's done a terrific job with the role he's had here, but I agree with you. The only way we're going to find out is let him go out there and play every day. But you know, where are you going to play him? You have to run him out.
You have to run him in left field. And I know he's not that good out there, but you'd have to do that. I'll tell you, Rosario is a guy that, you know, he's going to wind up putting up pretty good numbers at shortstop. The guy hits the ball the other way all the time, and he hits it the other way with power. So that guy could wind up hitting 20 homers and 35 doubles for your shortstop. If he catches the ball, he's going to be a pretty good player.
And another guy that I forgot. I didn't mention him.
He's not a bad offensive player, you know?
You know, we followed, Cano came, and he was, like, glued to Cano. And Cano hit the ball to the opposite field, drove the ball to the opposite field. All spring training, and Rosario, it clicked with him, and that's what Rosario's doing. Hey, when you hit the ball to the opposite field, you let the ball get deeper, it makes you a better breaking ball hitter, it makes you a better off-speed hitter.
And you know, Cano told me he was going to be good. He said to me, you know, the kid's going to be really good. I go, what kid? He goes, Rosario. I said, really? He goes, I'm telling you, Rosario's got a world of talent. He's going to be a really big player. I was surprised he said that, to be honest with you.
Well, Rosario, under Alderson's regime, which was walks and not swinging at bad pitches, Rosario is a free swinger, and you cannot put the bit in the mouth and pull the reins on a hitter like him. It's like Manny Sanguian.
Gotcha.
Are you going to get Manny Sanguian and tell him he's got to work the
count? No, you got to let him swing the bat.
Let him swing. Yeah. And you know, and either Rosario is going to learn or he's not going to learn, and he's learning. And I think Cano, all his value so far this year has been what he brought and showed Rosario in spring training about going the other way. It's made Rosario a better hitter. Plus, Rosario hits in the clutch, too. He's a pretty good clutch hitter.
I agree. We're talking about Keith Hernandez. Now, one before you leave, listen, you were you played this game a long time. You're a great student of the game. You also played on the infield, and you played closer to anybody to the plate than just about anybody alive all those years with the bunt play. How live is this baseball that they're hitting out of the ballpark? I mean, the opposite field, half swing home runs. I mean, have you ever in your life seen the ball jump out of the ballpark like it did has this year?
It's jumping out of the ballpark like it did in the steroid era. I think even more so. I mean, I see outfielders running after fly balls. They think they got it, and then all of a sudden they run into the wall or they run out of room.
That Frazier one looked like it was going to be maybe in medium left field, and it went in the seats.
That was the one-handed one. But you know what? I said on the air, I've hit a couple home runs like that where you're out in front, you let go with one hand, and you hit it like Kirk Gibson off Eckersley.
Yep.
In the World Series. You just click it. You out with one hand, you're out in front, and you just – your wrists, everything is the perfect timing, and the ball goes a long way. Gibson did it. I did it a few times. And it's just like when you're a golfer, I guess, when he really clicks a drive off the tee and he hits it just perfectly. But the ball is no question that the ball was juiced. It was all pitching last year, no runs, and they've done something to correct that, and I hope that they come to their senses and deaden that ball a little bit, and let's get some more doubles in the gap and guys scoring from first. It's much more exciting than watching home runs, strikeouts, and walks.
I had Pete Rose in studio last week, and you know, he came to promote his new book, and he's been in my studio a bunch of times, so I've known him through the years. He came in and he said to me, doesn't baseball stink? And I said, he goes, isn't it impossible to watch? You want to call this baseball? You see one guy hit a home run, then you don't see any action for six innings? He says, this isn't baseball. He says, this is not baseball. He says, I don't like the way they teach these hitters. He says, I don't like the way they approach the plate. I don't like anything about this game right now. Now, he's an old-fashioned guy, but you come from kind of the same era as he did.
I feel the same way that I don't pay attention to strikeouts anymore in pitchers. I look at the strikeouts and they're not meaningless, but they don't have the import that they used to. The home runs this year now, I mean they're commonplace, and nothing special about them. I mean it's just. I mean, we're hitting five home runs. We're hitting home runs at our ballpark now, City Field. Well, they brought the fences in, Mike, twice. You know that.
Yep.
After Alderson. Everybody, I remember the first year with that big, we used to call it the Great Wall of Flushing in
yep.
left center field. Everybody making a right-hand turn going, holy cow. It really was like almost like the Astrodome.
I remember when Jorge Posada was the first one who got one out there to left center field. Everyone went crazy.
Yep. And now they're going out over the old wall like hotcakes. Like hotcakes. So I listened to a couple pitchers in April talking about how the ball, we've heard it all before.
Yep.
So I don't know, I can't say definitively, but I suspect that Major League Baseball wanted more runs, and it's the wrong way to go about it. Make the ballparks bigger. These guys are bigger and stronger. They do hit the ball a lot further. Make the ballparks bigger, and it makes it more exciting. When you got bigger ballparks, you got balls in the gap, you got runners running, trying to score on a double from first. Nothing more exciting than the play, a close play at the plate, even though they've taken that away. You can't knock a catcher down, you can't take a guy out at second base on a double play. I mean, it's just a lot of craziness.
It is. Now, tell me this in closing, we're talking with Keith Hernandez. Do you like coming over to go to Yankee games for a couple? Do you like coming over and playing in the Subway Series, announcing the Subway Series? Do you like the games at Yankee Stadium? Is it something different? Or do you enjoy it?
I don't enjoy interleague play. I think it should just be the 3-3. The Mets just play the Yankees 3-3, and that's it. And somehow get back in when the National League's playing the National League, and maybe you play the other two divisions twice. I'll accept that, you know, but I enjoy coming here. The only thing I don't enjoy, Mike, is getting here, the traffic.
Well, listen, that's something we can't do anything about anywhere in our city. That's it. Listen, enjoy.
Yep.
Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it very much. Thanks.
Okay, Mike.
Thank you. Keith Hernandez.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.